Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, the king in Bartholomew and the Oobleck is one example of somebody with power and pride and ego and that inability to say, I'm sorry. But I thought this morning I might bring a little video illustration of somebody that a few more of you might recognize than the King of Dead. And so let's look at one of the iconic characters of our society and what happened when he needed to admit that he was wrong.
Don't forget that Fonz, real. I mean, it's not important. I figured I'd hang in the barracks and cheer up the guys.
Mal, you're not going to hang these up at any barracks because you're not going to join the Marines. Just take all this stuff home, okay?
But Fonzie, not join? I'm all packed. You told me it was the right thing to do.
Look, I know what I told you to do, but when I told you to do that, I was... Ralph, I was... I was not exactly right.
What do you mean, not right?
I mean, not right.
I don't get you.
You mean you were wrong? Yeah, that's right, Malfa. I was what you just said I was just then, yeah.
Wrong? The Fonz wrong?
Malf, look. There is a first time for everything, huh?
I don't understand, Fonz. How could you be wrong about a thing like that?
Look, I don't understand it myself, Ralph. I don't understand myself. I was under a lot of pressure. I was under a lot of cars, too. Two of them were Edsels. Maybe the pressure was getting to me. I don't know.
No, Fonzie. You might have been under a lot of cars, but you weren't wrong. You were right. Everything you said about me was true. I'm useless around here. I gotta join. Everybody hates me. I'll see you.
Mouth! I didn't tell you why I was,
wrong?
I didn't tell you why you shouldn't join the Marines.
Why shouldn't I go, Fonz? I mean, tell me.
Because if you join the Marines, I'm gonna miss you.
Miss me? But Fonz, you're always telling me to get lost and to sit on it. You even told me I was useless.
Ralphie, don't you know when I'm joshing?
It doesn't get any cooler than the Fonz now, does it? I mean, the classic character of coolness and macho man all in one. I mean, for Ralph, that expression, you can't be wrong, right? Because he's the Fonz. It takes a pretty big person to admit when they're wrong. And I looked at this book of Bartholomew and the Oobleck, and we played around with it last summer in the kids' discovery club that I'd been leading and talking to the kids. And when we got into this series, I was like, I got to do Bartholomew and the Oobleck. Got to do that book. Dr. Seuss hits it right in the gut with this one of who we are as humans. Because we do constantly make mistakes. We do constantly get ourselves stuck in the oobleck and needing to admit that we're wrong. But I thought, you know, maybe people won't quite relate into this oobleck. Maybe it's just a little too far-fetched to have this sticky substance falling from the sky and what it does. And so I thought about a childhood game. At least I used to play it. I don't know how many of you played it, but Cat's Cradle. Do you guys know this game, Cat's Cradle? My kids don't know this one. I don't know if they're still doing it in school, but you start with a simple piece of yarn, right? And you get it wrapped around your hands, and what do you do? But when you set it up just the right way, you have the cat's cradle. You turn it upside down, and it's a cradle. He's over here. You do this. I could probably have somebody come up here, but then the next friend winds their hands into the yarn. When they pull just right, then it transfers to them. But see, now, look where my hands started, and as I started to weave my hands, they're growing closer together. Now let's imagine this yarn and what's happening to it is when we make mistakes and errors. Now what happens if we keep making them and we keep holding on to them? Our hands just keep winding further and further into it, and we get kind of bound up into it. Our hearts get bound in these burdens and guilts that we carry and what's happening to between us and other people. Now, what really is happening between us and other people? Well, let's look at our scripture and see what God has to say. I've kind of gotten myself stuck, haven't I? Kind of like that king, kind of like Fonz. If his pride would have gotten in the way and he would have let Ralph made that mistake in going someplace he couldn't have been. But fortunately, I know what's in this scripture. In this scripture is the book of James, a book that's often avoided because of what Martin Luther did with it, of making James about a book of works and having to work your way into God's grace. But that's not what it is at all. James is a great book of practicality, of not what we have to do, but how it can make us better Christians and better people if we take it as a guideline. Well, here at the very end of the chapter, James is encouraging us on. The book of James is letting us know if something's wrong, there's something you can do about it. If you're hurting, if you're sick, if you need healing, don't just sit there and do nothing. He says, lift it in prayer so God can hear you and God can heal you. Let it come out of your heart and out of your mouth to God. If something is inflicting you, and he says, not just to God, if something is getting to you, go to the elders of the church. Go to your community. Go to the people who pray. Go to those prayer warriors and be willing to be humbled and admit, I need help. I need somebody else to lift this to God because I need God. And he says, where two or three are gathered, I will be there. And so will you gather with me and pray so God can answer me. But James goes further than those need for healings. He says those prayers aren't just for when we need God to heal us and be with us and comfort us and guide us. But he says if you've sinned, if you've wronged God or you've wronged one another, be willing to let that come out of your hearts. Let that come out of your lips. Let that be admitted to God and let that be admitted to one another. He says, lift that up so God can forgive you. Well, now what happens when we're bound up in all these burdens, if you can't see it on the video? What happens if you're bound up in them and you let them come out of your heart and out of your lips? What happens when you admit to God that you've done wrong and you ask for forgiveness? What do we do? But we release those cords that are around our hearts. Because God says, if you ask sincerely in your heart for forgiveness, I will forgive you. I will give you grace. I will take that burden from you. And now look, all of a sudden, I'm free to be able to do what I need to be able to do. What happens when I admit to somebody that I've wronged them? When I have the humility to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong in what I did. Can you forgive me? We make that step for repairs to happen, and we can release ourselves. Look at this. My hands can now serve instead of being bound up in that burden. Being able to look at James and hear the prayers of a righteous person is powerful and effective. It's effective in releasing us. But now what happens if you don't relate to Ublek? What if you don't relate to Cat's Cradle? Well, look at all of you. You should have had somewhere on those benches. It was kind of an Ublecky experience of them going everywhere. But does everybody have somewhere on their bench a rock? I can be brave enough to try to pass those baskets and see if they can not go everywhere. They're probably at the end of your pews if you want to pass them. Try and have everybody have a rock. Now let's imagine if when our life begins, we're given a backpack to carry. An empty backpack isn't too much to carry, is it? No problem, right? The trouble is when you start to load it with stuff. Now, what if every time I make a mistake, I commit a sin, I wrong someone, it's a pebble or a rock or even a boulder that's put in that backpack? And as long as we carry that burden, as long as we keep it as our own, it stays within that backpack. You know, this doesn't seem like very much. I've got three right now. That seems like no problem, you know? But now imagine it bigger. Or imagine this. What if you were required to carry that rock 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Because that's how long we have our burdens. We can't just set them to the side and say, I'm tired right now, I'm going to put it right over here. What if we had to carry it all the time? What if we just kept loading our backpack with them because we had too much pride to give them up, too much ego to say I was wrong, too much machismo to say I'm sorry, and we just kept loading them? That burden would get heavier and heavier. It would get harder to carry. Get too many and we will find ourselves stuck and unable to move because of that burden. But one of the things I thought of is I'm reading James and I'm looking at this book of Ublek and I'm thinking about these rocks and I'm thinking about this yarn and it's all weaving in there. And I found myself in the Lord's Prayer. And I found myself in the Gospel of Matthew, right at the end of the prayer. And Jesus says, for if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Think about that backpack and realize there's two kinds of rocks in it. There's those burdens that I carry of those things that I have done. But there's also rocks in that pack of the ways that I have been hurt, the ways that I have been wrong, the words that have cut into me. And when I withhold forgiveness, when I carry that grudge and that anger, it's rocks in my backpack that I carry. They're burdens in my heart that are binding me up as long as I carry them. And in just the same way as saying I'm sorry and I was wrong can release me from those burdens, allowing forgiveness to come from your heart and out of your lips, to tell somebody that you are willing to move on because you don't want to carry that burden, can release your heart just as much. Because those burdens can bind me. Those burdens can bind me where I can be paralyzed in them because I'm so wrapped up in what happened to me. When I get to the point where just seeing that person and hearing their name just makes me start to bubble and shake, it's killing my life, sometimes even more than the original hurt that happened to me. And like that Ublek, that pride that makes it so that I'm sorry or you're forgiven can't come out of my mouth. It can stick me up, but like that Ublek, it can stick up those around me as well. There was a movie called Men of Honor, And in it, talking about men that were divers in the Navy. One of the higher-ups was telling a man that he didn't want to be there because of the color of his skin. He explained to him, all it takes is one drop of machinist oil to ruin an entire boat's supply of water. When I have those burdens and I allow them to be festering in me, like that oobleck, it can start sticking up the people around me. It can get infectious of that anger and resentment and grudges. It can tear friendships apart. It can tear families apart. It tears churches apart. When we hold those burdens, when we withhold those apologies, when we withhold those forgivenesses, it can tear at us and it can burden all of us. But when we put our pride and ego aside, when we're willing to put the good of our life and our hearts and the whole of a community first, and we're willing to use those magic words, we can be unbound. We can be relieved of those burdens. And wholeness and healing can come from us and into others just as well. I know that there are those in here that have these rocks. I know all of us in some way have these burdens that we carry, whether it's the burden of what we've done or the burden of what's been done to us. And this morning, I'm asking if we, as the body of Christ, can put our pride to the side. If we can reach down deep into our hearts to see what weighs them down and binds them up. And if here in this place, in the presence of God and our brothers and sisters in Christ, if we can take the steps to make those apologies and give that forgiveness so that we can move forward, so that we can free ourselves to live in the fullness of where God wants us to be. Christ died on a cross so that we don't have to carry these burdens. Christ died so that we could be unbound and have our hearts full of joy instead of guilt and anger and resentment. As you prepare to come to the table this morning, can you confess of your sins? Can you give forgiveness so that you can walk out of here without these burdens? And can we find healing in ourselves and in this community? I wanted you all to have rocks because I wanted you all to have a symbol of those burdens to bring to the communion table. And if you're willing to give them to God, if you're willing to follow the instructions of James, to be able to admit what's in your heart and be unbound from it, I invite you to bring your rock to communion and drop it as an offering to God, as a symbol of what you desire in your life. My friends, will you pray with me? God, you know our hearts. You know what is binding them up and sticking to them. You know those wounds that we've carried for ages that we've carried for far too long. And we know you don't want us carrying them any longer. And so we ask you this morning to give us your Holy Spirit of strength, that we can make steps right here in your house to relieve our hearts of these burdens, to admit that we have been wrong and that we need to make repairs, and to admit that we've been hurt, but to be willing to not be hurt any longer by giving forgiveness and moving forward from them. Lord, if this is at all possible, may it happen right here in this place as we prepare to receive communion in remembrance of the mighty acts that Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, so that we could be a people of forgiveness and not a people of debt. We lift all of this up to you. Amen.